You're listening to CJSR 88.5. It's Lucas Anders, your moving radio correspondent. Ben Judkins is the director and producer of the documentary, The Cigarette Surfboard.
The whole juxtaposition of this beauty of surfing and this nasty throwaway culture of cigarette butts colliding, I don't think I even knew what I was getting myself into. So how could a surfboard help me hold a mirror up to the ways we're harming the oceans? To ask, well, does it actually have to be that way? And can we think about something differently?
The flick of the ciggy butt, it feels so small.
Throwaway kind of mentality that
floating down the river ends up in the sea.
Like, where do you think these are gonna go? There is no way.
It's a major disconnect.
An icon of trash.
People just threw those and didn't care about it.
Don't really care, you know, out of sight, out of mind, over it.
Just complete disregard.
Cigarette butts are the single most picked up item off of beach and urban cleanups. There are trillions of cigarettes dumped every year into the environment.
You can catch his film as part of the Northwest Film Festival, where it will be making its world premiere with Ben and Taylor Lane, his co-producer. We follow his journey through the documentary. You can catch it on Saturday, May 11th at 7 p.m. Welcome to Moving Radio, Ben.
Yeah, thanks for having me here. Excited to come up to Edmonton and see what the surfing scene is like up there.
We're incredibly grateful to have you on the show. There's always something to gain from a creator's perspective. So what do you think your film is about at its core?
I think The Cigarette Surfboard is about the capacity of anyone to really do something bigger than themselves. And so the film follows this young man, Taylor Lane, this average surfer from Santa Cruz, who has this wacky idea to build a surfboard out of the world's most littered item, cigarette butts. And so he does that, and the cigarette surfboard becomes this platform that takes him around the world to meet these incredible ocean activists, professional surfers, and really to explore this question of what can I or anyone do to help protect and restore the health of our oceans.
What inspired you, Ben, to tell this story yourself? What was so important about it to you?
Yeah, as a surfer myself, I spend a lot of time in and around the ocean. I have a tremendous amount of care for the health of the ocean. And the cigarette surfboard really just takes this problem. It basically becomes the symbol of a solution, and it does it in a really fun, inspiring way. And I think what happens throughout the film is the surfboard becomes essentially this platform or this vessel for different professional surfers, from Jack Johnson, the renowned musician from Hawaii, who's also a former professional surfer, to regenerative farmer professional surfer Fergal Smith in Ireland, to Mikey February, one of the world's best professional surfers and nonprofit founder from South Africa. All of these people that we met along the way that are key characters in the film are just such incredible sources of inspiration for me, and kind of continued to fuel the journey of making this film, not only in meeting them, but going back out to potentially visit people another time. And then in the editing room, going through these interviews and being like, wow, like I just really like all of the people in the film. And that's how, when you hit the chopping block and you got to cut out certain scenes, the people that remained in the film are people that truly inspired both Taylor and I. And I'm sure whether you surf or not, whether you live in California or Edmonton, this film will inspire you too.
It's really interesting from the perspective of a surfer. We often see them as rebellious outsiders, and they're truly stewards of the environment, as we see throughout this film. Why do you think that's so prevalent in the surf community?
Yeah, there's a lot of stereotypes that have been around for many decades of what surfers are. The surfer stoner, the rebellious surfer, the hedonistic surfer, the beach bum, definitely popularized by mass culture in different films such as Fast Times at Ridgemont High, Spicoli, if you remember him. And while those types of surfers do exist in the world, there's also so many surfers, professional, amateur, that are really doing something to give back to the ocean. And I think what our film does is it really curates and highlights this growing amount of people around the world that actually really do want to protect this thing that we love, the marine environment. So I think the film highlights this side of surfing that's not always seen by mass media. And surfers are on the front lines. The ocean has no voice. So like, who better to stand up and fight for it than us?
Yeah. And you were able to connect with some pretty incredible individuals in the surf community. How did you form those connections, or how did you discover that alongside Taylor?
Yeah, we spent years researching, meeting with people, shooting interviews, and really what gave us access to the people in our film were the cigarette surfboards themselves. They were this thing that after one professional surfer wrote it and he or she promoted the surfboards, not only the message behind them, but also their functionality. I think that really opened the doors to just gaining access to some of the best minds and best surfers within the surfing community on a global scale. And oftentimes we would meet one person who would introduce us to someone else and it would lead to somewhere else. And there are times when we spent months on the road with this, just following what landed in front of us. Yeah, I feel incredibly lucky to have had this prop, this cigarette surfboard, to just allow access. And as Taylor continued to refine the functionality of the surfboards, as he made them a lot more surfable over time, that really opened up a lot of doors and yeah, allowed us to meet with some people who we'd been looking up to for many years as surfers ourselves.
You're listening to CJSR Moving Radio. We're talking to Ben Judkins, director and producer of the film, The Cigarette Surfboard. You can catch his film on Saturday, May 11th at 7 o'clock down at the Garneau Theater here in Edmonton, where he'll be in attendance with Taylor Lane, the subject of the film. Of all the adventures and surf breaks that you visited with the cigarette surfboard, I know it's got to be hard to make a choice in this space, because through this documentary, you see incredible places, you meet incredible people. If you had to choose a favorite stop or one that really stood out to you, was there a moment in this production where you were like, this is amazing? I'm sure it was all amazing, like I said, but
yeah, is there totally one that
stood out to you?
Oh, yeah, they all stand out. They truly do. I mean, again, we had such a privilege to be able to go around the world and meet with professional surfers and film them surfing. Like, what a dream. And if I had to pick one place, Lucas, I think I'd go with Ireland. We ended up in Ireland to meet up with Fergal Smith, who is this regenerative farmer who abandoned his professional surfing career to do something that he felt was more meaningful in his life, farming, and doing it in a really regenerative way. And we got to his farm. It was the middle of summer, and we just embedded ourselves in that community for at least a week without even bringing a camera out. So we just jumped in. We helped on the farm. We got to know the people there. We got to know Fergal really well. And I think in that time, we just became friends. Ultimately, there's a lot of trust that grew between us, a lot of respect. And on that trip, we actually only filmed with Fergal one time surfing. The waves just weren't very good. So ultimately, it was kind of, let's just go meet this person and see if we're a good fit for each other. And he's just such an inspiring human being. And so after that first trip, we're like, all right, we need to go back. We need to actually film Fergal surfing the cigarette surfboard in some big waves, which he's very well known for doing. And when we came back, we just had such a rapport built. We'd kept in touch with him. We had this relationship built. We spent a few days on the road, Taylor, myself, and Fergal, and Katie. And he just took us around to some of the most incredible coastal locations in Ireland. I mean, it is just one of the most stunning places I've ever been. He knows everyone. He's a living legend out there. I think having both that connection with Fergal, but also with that place, and having that time to like really get to know him, and then felt in a lot of ways like it was a reciprocal relationship. We were on the same page, and gosh, I can't wait to go back to Ireland. What a great place.
Why do you think the cigarette surfboard is such a powerful piece to start that conversation, to educate others? Where do you think that comes from?
Yeah, the cigarette surfboard is just so visceral. It's so tangible. You can touch it. You can feel it. It's kind of self-explanatory. The film is really supplement to the cigarette surfboards. They work together. They live together. But you can see this board, whether you surf or not, you're young, you're old, and you just get it. It speaks its message on its own. And we've seen people from people in kindergarten to older people, people who smoke, people who surf, who don't surf, everyone really can connect with the board. And it's just a conversation starter. And one of the coolest things is seeing when some of these surfers would ride the boards, you'd see them out in the lineup with their other friends, this place maybe that they have been surfing a long time. I'm looking through my camera from shore and I just see this conversation happening where the board's flipped over, they're waiting between waves, and that conversation is shifting from, oh, the tide is getting too high or the wind is picking up, to like, whoa, what's that thing? Surfboard built out of cigarette butts. People are just enamored by it. It's this hook. It's this alluring thing. And so I think seeing those in person is just such an incredible thing. It's art. It's a functional surfboard. And I hope we can see some of you at the screening in Edmonton, Northwest Fest next week, and come check out the boards. Come say hi. Come hold them. See if it might be something you'd want to ride someday. And yeah, I'm sure you'll have that same feeling.
I think it's so interesting how this problem that you start off with at the beginning of the film, the flick of the cigarette, it's such a thing in terms of our culture we need to change, right? And it's not only a problem with our oceans, but here I would say in Alberta, the problem is out the window and then starts a fire. There's environmental consequences to the flick of the cigarette. And there is a lot of movement thanks to Taylor. So I wonder what your thoughts are on how this helps push that conversation, I guess.
To address the first part of your question, you know, the flick of the ciggy butt doesn't just happen on coastlines. It happens in every single city, every single town in the world. We can all relate to that, right? And I think what the ciggy boards do is, again, they take this problem, they take this flick of the cigarette butt, they symbolize this solution. Really, they materialize it into this one gross amalgamation of thousands of beach littered cigarette butts in one functional surfboard. And I think that in and of itself moves people. And what Taylor has been doing in Santa Cruz for a few years now in Santa Cruz, California, is he's using the board as this symbol and as this prop to help influence legislation to, on the local level, on the citywide level, now it's become the countywide level, to basically try to ban the sale of single-use cigarette filters. And I think having a prop like that and having a film that tells this bigger story behind it, we're really using both aspects, the media side of it and the physical surfboards, to push legislation, hopefully starting in Santa Cruz, but really anywhere that wants to get on board. Is there's any bills in Edmonton, or if there's anyone that you can introduce us to that is working on this topic here in Edmonton, we'd be thrilled to talk with them. And it's a global issue. It's just really cool to see the power of surfing in the collective influence of surfers getting together to push for something that really impacts us and something that we see every day on our beaches and coastline.
Pushing into sort of the filming of your documentary, the ocean is beautifully shot and has to be one of the more challenging parts of putting a film together. What tools helped you capture the subjects, riding the wave? There's a lot that goes into that. And I think sometimes we don't always get that perspective from film.
It's a good question. So we filmed this documentary in as many ways with as many apparatuses as we possibly could. We filmed on a tripod from the beach. We filmed on the back of boats. We filmed on the back of jet skis. We have drone shots. There's plenty of footage from in the water where a filmer is treading water, holding the camera in a water housing right above the surface of the water. And you get that really intimate connection with the surfer riding the wave. And I think the reason for that, it's not a surf film. It's a documentary, but it's also partly a surf film. So how do we reach all audiences? And I think having all of these different perspectives, all of these different ways of filming surfing and filming the ocean, I think that makes it more interesting for a non-surfing audience. And it also helps build this view of the ocean and this bigger message that we're putting forth in the film of why it needs protecting. Like, why protect the health of the ocean? Why should we even care whether we're in California or Edmonton? Why should we care about the health of the sea? And the truth is, it provides most of the oxygen we breathe. About 50 to 80% of the oxygen we breathe comes from the ocean, no matter if you're landlocked or you're right on the beach. And I think that can kind of resonate with people too. So with a lot of those filming situations, as we traveled around the world, we hired a lot of local filmers to help film in some more challenging situations. There were places, for example, in Ireland, where I didn't want to get in the water and kick around when I don't know the current. I don't know where the reef is. I don't know where the rocks are. I've never filmed out there. So how about we stay on the cliff? There's a local filmer who's filmed out there for years, who really knows the spot. Hire him, hire her to go out and capture the shots we need. And that also was just so cool to connect with international filmers, people who are passionate about surfing and passionate about protecting the ocean, and bringing them into this bigger cigarette surfboard family that we've created over the last few years.
That's incredibly cool that you get the opportunity to bring people in from the different areas that you visit.
I think I just want to make a note on that. In meeting all the people that we meet along the way, I really do feel like people kind of become part of the cigarette surfboard family. It's been a really cool, we've kept people updated. We've kept relationships with most of the people we filmed with. And that just feels really special to have this kind of global coalition of people who really are passionate about whether it's surfing cigarette butts or protecting the marine environment or some combination of those, to have them sort of on board, for lack of a better pun.
Your friend is a co-producer and also subject. He chose to take that surfboard into the Mavericks, which is insanely big waves, right? Like, we're talking like 25 feet is like your standard wave. Were there any nerves watching your friend get pulled into even a rogue wave while he was doing that? Was there some part of you that was feeling a little nervous around that choice?
Lucas, I was terrified. No, it was one of the scariest moments of my life. Taylor's a good friend of mine. We've known each other for about a decade. And yeah, and we just have been on the journey of making this film together. And being out there on a jet ski, filming Mavericks, filming Taylor that day on the cigarette surfboard, and seeing that massive rogue wave come in, I mean, I was like way in the channel and I was scared for myself. I was on the back of a jet ski that could propel me to safety, essentially, which was scary in its own right. But my safety was, yeah, I was scared for myself. And then seeing this wave hit and seeing Taylor have to go underwater, ditch his board, and face the biggest wave he's ever seen in his life was just, I was incredibly worried for him. And without wanting to give too much away, I hope you come out and see the film this coming weekend. But I didn't see Taylor for like an hour. He just got washed in and I was like out in the lineup. I got dropped off by my jet ski onto a boat. The jet ski went to go basically save people. And so I was sitting there. People say you should keep your camera rolling. Always keep your camera rolling. Never stop recording. Even in a moment like that, I definitely stopped recording. I just was like so scared for my friend. He actually let someone know maybe like 15 minutes later, my jet ski driver, he let him know, basically go tell Ben that I'm okay, because I know he's out on that boat right now, just terrified for me. And so I was, the jet ski driver came out, told me Taylor was okay. And when we got to land, yeah, that it felt really good to give him a hug, because it could have, it's a serious wave. It's a serious wave, and it could have definitely could have ended a lot differently that day.
And maybe to give our audience some context, like a lot of people don't know surfing and the Mavericks, sure. But like, what could a wave do if it crests and pretty much hits you? Like, there's things that could happen, right?
Yeah, injury and death, it's a very serious thing. And I think Taylor was well prepared for being out there that day. I really do. But yeah, anything can happen. And people have, yeah, lost their lives out there. It's a tragedy. And no one did that day, which was great, obviously. But yeah, happy it all worked out.
What were some of the challenges you faced in telling this story and getting it into production and around the whole process?
As any documentary filmmaker can relate to, one of the hardest parts of making a film is you spend years filming with people. You get to the post-production editing process, and then you have to cut and cut and cut. And you're just cutting these amazing stories that really deserve to see the light of day. But you go through this really hard process of deciding what's going to be best in the scope of your full film and what's going to connect the story all together. And so that was definitely a really, really hard process, to go to the chopping block with some of those stories. And aside from that, I think the biggest challenge was just, as I mentioned before, figuring out how to have that blend between a surf film and an environmental documentary. Really, my guiding star for that was, you know, if my mom, who grew up in Chicago, grew up very far from an ocean, she does not surf, if she could sit through the film and it wasn't too much surfing for her, if she didn't fall asleep during the film, then I think this can reach any audience. So she's seen the film a couple times. She didn't fall asleep. So I hope all of you in Edmonton can can make it through the film, I think you can.
I definitely think so too. Was there a moment for you when you knew you were going to be a filmmaker? Like, because there's a lot that goes into it, right?
Yeah, in a lot of ways, this film made me a filmmaker. This is my first feature documentary. I've been working on films and videos for about a decade, but yeah, this film sort of became my graduate school of filmmaking, and just through a lot of experiential learning, a lot of trial and error, a lot of dead ends, learning lessons along the way. But as a kid, I just had artistic intention, inclination, but I wasn't particularly gifted at a traditional art form like painting or drawing or ceramics or something like that. So when I was maybe 7 or 8, I started playing around with my parents' old home camcorder, and it quickly became one of my best friends. And I would take it out skateboarding with my buddies and film little skateboarding videos, and just got so into the editing process. Ultimately, I loved filming, but then coming home and getting to tell a story that combines skateboarding, this thing that I love, as well as just imagery, composition, lighting, music, sound, story, and gives you this platform to kind of combine all of these art forms into one. I think that really, yeah, I just fell in love with it and eventually started filming surfing a little bit later in my life. And then I went to school for film, got my degree in film, and here I am today.
What's your pitch for people in Edmonton to come out and see your film? What do you want them to see in this film and maybe take away?
The Cigarette Surfboard is a film for anyone, whether you surf or not, whether you smoke or not. I really think this film is for you. And it really does two things. It gives you a problem. It presents all of the different ways in which the flick of the cigarette butt is this environmental hazard, has a social impact, has an economic impact, but it also gives you a lot of solutions. And I think it's an inspiring film. It's not another depressing environmental documentary. We really decided we wanted to make a film that was gonna leave people inspired versus feeling like they didn't really know what they could do. And so I hope everyone, I know everyone will watch the film, and you'll connect with at least one character, if not many, and hopefully that can bleed into your life in whatever small way it does and lead you to want to take action, whether it's around cigarette butts or any environmental social issue in your neighborhood. And come out to the film on Saturday. Taylor's gonna be there with the cigarette surfboards. We're gonna have them on display. I'll be there. Let's talk about surfing. Let's talk about cigarette butts. Tell me about the surf scene in Edmonton. Can we take the board to a river wave? What's the deal? Yeah, let's have a fun night.
There might be a water park you can go to.
You have a water park.
Yeah.
Let's go to the water park.
Right at the big mall.
Let's go to the big mall and bring the Siggy boards. And
yeah, that could be a cool rip. Cool opportunity for sure. Thank you so much for joining us here on Moving Radio. You can see Ben Judkin's film, The Cigarette Surfboard, Saturday night for its world premiere. Ben will be in attendance with Taylor Lane, who we follow throughout the documentary. That's on May 11th out at the Garneau Theater at 7 o'clock here in Edmonton. I'm your correspondent, Lucas Anders, for Moving Radio on CJSR 88.5, the farthest left on the dial.
This is a clear statement that the health of our oceans is not going to change until we do something about it.
But I think the Siggy Board represents taking a problem and finding out how you can be part of the solution, but enjoying that process.
We need to shift the story within popular surfing culture of what it means to be a surfer, what's cool in surfing.
As surfers, we have the capacity to seriously influence the world around us.
So more than just making a point, could this surfboard begin to actually make a difference?